where would you like to go? Hello everybody and welcome to today's episode of Take Me To. This is Sunny from It Is Sunny Over Here, and we are joined here today by Milan Dmitrovski, who is going to take us to
Barcelona.
Hi Milan, thank you for joining me and for bringing me and our audience closer to Barcelona today.
Thank you very much for having me on your podcast. I'm really delighted and I'm really honored, and it is my first time being actually a guest in a podcast somewhere else, so that's quite cool.
Actually, Milan is a podcast host himself. He has a podcast, it's on Macedonian language though, and you can check him out on YouTube at Namuabetsu Papata or at Instagram at Papa the Second and Namuabetsu Papata, right?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you for that shout out.
I think we have a lot of Macedonian listeners actually, so I think they'll be interested in checking that out. So Milan, tell us about Barcelona first and a little bit about yourself. I know that you studied and worked and lived in Barcelona for quite a while. How did you end up there?
Yeah, that's quite correct. I lived and studied and worked all in once. And the reason being is that I actually did my master's degree in Barcelona. Part of it was in Barcelona, part of it was in Tarragona, which is a smaller city 80 kilometers away from Barcelona. So for my master's degree, I had to actually both like study, like go to classes, take exams, etc. But also I had to work in scientific research institutions. So that part counted like work. I did my master's in multidisciplinary research into different institutes. So that's the reason I was in Barcelona.
I was following your Barcelona journey on your Instagram, and I think you had a wonderful time there. And you will tell us more about that later on. But first, let's just mention all of the basic facts about Barcelona for the people who don't know. So Barcelona is probably one of the most popular tourist destinations in Europe, if not the most popular one. And its population is about 1.62 million people, and the official language is Spanish. Currency is euro. Anything else you want to add on to that, Milan?
Yes, Barcelona is the capital of, let's say, Catalonia, this region which people from Catalonia want to, you know, be autonomous from the rest of Spain.
Yes, I was thinking of mentioning capital of Catalonia, which is in Spain.
Exactly.
And then I think a lot of people have this misconception because it's one of the biggest cities in Europe and more popular than Madrid. I think that it's capital of Spain as well.
Yeah, I would agree.
Anything else you would like to add on to these facts? I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's most of it. It's not particularly very, very large city, as you would think. It's a bit dense, but it's not as big maybe as it sounds like other big cities like London or Paris or maybe Berlin or something like that.
What you're trying to say is that it's easy to walk around for tourists.
Yes, it's relatively easy, although it is more preferable to take the metro or to, you know, go somewhere by taxi, but it's relatively easy to walk around.
Tell us about Barcelona from your personal perspective. Like, what did you like about Barcelona? Why did you choose Barcelona to go there specifically? And any personal emotions or feelings, any fond memories that are still holding you close to or dear to Barcelona?
Yes, well, Barcelona has always been kind of like a city that I loved to live in for some time of my life, because I just loved, after 3 years of studying in the UK, where it was all just rain and wind. Ooh. And more rain and clouds and no Sundays and everything. I think there was like around 3 or 4, if I'm not mistaken, sunny days during the year. It was just ridiculous.
Oh my goodness.
So I literally got fed up with just being rained on every day and just cold. And I said, wherever I go for my master's, it has to be somewhere on the sea. It has to be somewhere tropical. It has to be somewhere where, you know, I can enjoy, or I can just go in and swim after classes or anything. And that's how I understand that. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And yes, I got a scholarship to go study in Spain, and I just immediately got it.
You were like, yes, that's the one.
Yes, so it was one of the happiest days of my life. It was just so, so nice. Back to your question about my most memorable times. There's actually quite a few from Barcelona and from Spain. people hang out a lot, people do go places a lot, they are constantly with friends and they interact. Like the social life is a very, very, like on a very high level. And that is something I really like, you know, I really loved, I really enjoyed. The other thing maybe is that people are very, very friendly as well. Even if, you know, there are people from foreign countries, especially my classmates and other people were very welcoming. A lot of them knew English, which is very nice if you're trying to make friends in a foreign country. The social aspect is very nice. The aspect that they have so many bars, so many restaurants, so many different places that you can just go, you can visit. Yes, you can literally go to a different bar in Barcelona every single night and you will not get bored, you know. And with time, you get to choose which places you like best. And it's quite nice. It's quite nice that you have such a vast variety of restaurants and bars.
You wouldn't get sick of all the reggaeton.
No. Oh, actually, after 1 year, I do have to say, like, every single Spanish song just has the same exact beat. It's just like, you know, tum, ba-tum, 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 ba-tum. It's just the same. It's just the same.
That's the one. It can be a little bit faster or a little bit slower, but yeah, that's the tune that you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, other than nightlife and having fun with your classmates, did you get to travel around Barcelona and Spain a lot? Or?
That part that you mentioned did make up 70% of my being there, so... But I did manage to travel around Barcelona, although I'm not the biggest fan of big large cities, but Barcelona was quite like a nicer place than Berlin or Paris or London or, you know, other some big cities that I've been. If I had to live in a big city, I would choose Barcelona because it's just kind of like the least crowded maybe from all of those. Actually, yes, I did manage to travel around Barcelona and around Spain while I was there.
So we had this question a lot, almost on every episode people ask it. What is the best period or the best season to travel to a certain destination, in this case, Spain or Barcelona?
Ooh, well, for Spain in general, I'm not exactly sure of the correct, like the exact seasonality, but if I were to go now, I would probably go like March, end of March until May-ish, something like this. June, July, August becomes very, very humid, you know, because it's right next to the sea. And it's just the heat combined with the humidity, it's just terrible. But that's when most of the people go, so I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's summer.
August is the busiest month and it's not good because on every location it's too busy. There's too many tourists. So you would not have a good time if you go in August and the humidity and the hot air and everything that you mentioned. And I think as well, winter time wouldn't be perfect because there's snow and rain. And then
snow, not much, but it is cold. And because it's a mainly tourist city, you won't get to get many of the, you know, the attractions and stuff. And you won't experience the life of Barcelona during the winter.
Yeah. And I think it's just prettier and livelier during the spring, right?
Exactly. You're correct.
And then the travel duration. I think a perfect travel duration for Barcelona would be 3 to 5 days. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I would say maybe 4 or 5 days would be nice. A week would be just perfect. But if there's just so many things to see.
And then if you come to Barcelona, you would probably come through an airport or maybe through a train station. And tell us, how do we manage to travel around Barcelona for their metros, trams, buses? Teach us.
Yeah, so the nice thing that I loved about Barcelona is that the airport is actually very, very close to the city. So it's only about like 25 minutes by bus, which is extremely useful and it's extremely convenient compared to, for example, London. So when you land at the airport, you could take a taxi, which is, of course, the most expensive but easiest way to do stuff. But what I would personally suggest is so you don't mess up the lines in the metro or something, you just open Google Maps, you just see which buses run to where you want to go. You take a bus ticket and you just get on the bus, which is quite easy.
Is there a certain bus ticket that goes for all of the transportation or is it all separate, like buses, trams?
there is one ticket that you can use on a bus or you can use on the metro. So you buy them in any ticket vendors. And what was quite a famous ticket was the T10. Up until 1 year ago, it was like a ticket that costed like 10 euros and you get 10 travels. But now the T10 costs 11 euros, which is very weird and no one likes it.
Doesn't make any sense.
But you still get 10 travels, which is just crazy, you know, and they renamed it so it doesn't sound stupid later. Anyway.
Yes, I think we covered all the basics and the questions. Oh, we have one more question from the audience, which is the budget per day.
Sure.
Can we name a budget per day? This is a very often question that we get, but it's very difficult to say if you're on a tight budget or if you're on a more on the high-end side. How much would it cost per day to like go around Barcelona?
So regarding budgeting, it really depends from like person to person. I would say maybe somewhere between 50 to 100 euros, depends on what you're doing, what you're buying, maybe around like 60-ish to 100, something like this, where you're eating, what type of restaurant do you like want to eat in, or you just want to grab a bocadillo or something like this, depends on you. It depends on what tourist attractions you want to see. But something in the range, maybe like 60 to 100 would be an acceptable thing for me at least.
And I think it depends on your hotel. Yeah. You can stay in hostels which would cost like from 10 euros to 25 euros or in a luxury hotel which would cost you maybe even like hundreds of euros.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think it's very debatable.
Yeah, definitely.
But we have to go through because it was a question from one of our audience members.
Exactly.
So let's talk more about Barcelona or Spain. Is there something that nobody tells you on these travel vlogs that you got to experience once you lived and studied there? Is there maybe a crazy story or something that you will never forget, something that is imprinted in your memory?
Definitely. So the thing that maybe I underestimated and maybe a lot of people underestimate is the amount of like stealing that goes on, like amount of like thieves.
Ooh, the scams.
Yes, exactly.
We have a whole section in this podcast that goes over scams.
Yes, exactly. Like scams and stealing and stuff. And it's absolutely crazy, I have to say. Like, I won't go into details because I don't know like who commits them or how they get committed or whatever.
It's an organized crime.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely something like this. Like, I would even say like, to some degree that even like maybe like some police is involved and stuff, and it's just like crazy. It's just people really do underestimate it. Like, I know on one of our first nights there, three of my classmates, like, we went to this festival and it was just kind of really nice, and we got, you know, we were drinking, we were just dancing, whatever, and three of them just went to the beach. And they decided it was a nice and smart and very nice thing to do to just like strip like naked or like, you know, an underwear and just go into like the water at like 2 a.m. or something like this, because it was nice and it was hot and they were all, you know, drunk and stuff like this. Come back and there's literally just nothing. Like, nothing.
Even their clothes?
Bags, clothes, phones, all of it. It was just ridiculous. It was just like, how could you do it? So it was the lesson, you know, they learn on day, if it's not one, it's like on day three, something like this. Yeah, they definitely had to like get new phones and stuff. And one of my friends from UK, she actually had to get one of those like small, like very, very primitive like phones. And we were making fun
like
of
Nokia
her.
Like Nokia ones?
Yes, with like the primitive cameras and stuff. And she had like, so, you know, such a little phone that we made fun of her for the next 1 week. We literally like took
poor girl
one, two pictures from her phone as fun, and then on the third picture we were like, okay, let's take a like group photo in this cafe that we were sitting, and we were trying to like take a picture, and then it said like no memory, delete some photos.
Oh,
it
was
ridiculous, you know.
Poor girl.
It took us about like 10 years back in time. Yes. Oh, this happened a lot.
I mean, they call it the pickpocket capital of Europe, right? But that's on a whole nother level. Like, they even stole their clothes. That's that's not human.
Exactly.
Not fair.
Exactly. No, they steal phones, they steal clothes. It's just ridiculous. There was a time where we had a phone stolen and we tracked the phone via GPS. We even tracked the phone. I even got the people who, because we called the phone and the people in front of us, like 2 meters in front of us, picked up the phone. I got them on camera. I confronted them. I went to the police. I showed the police the footage and everything. And they just brought people in, patted them down. They're like, no phone, That's it.
Sorry.
And then I was scared to enter the Gothic border.
Oh my goodness.
It was just ridiculous. So if you do go to Barcelona, please do keep everything in your bags, in your pockets, Ziploc, you know, with like zipper. Don't wave money around, wallets around, phone around. Don't give your phone to just random people who want to make a call and stuff.
Exactly.
Be careful with your like credit cards. Pay cash as much as possible. And for the sake of everything, do not leave your personal belongings on the beach unattended, like at all times.
Personal recommendation. Don't even ask
strangers. Yeah, definitely.
Barcelona is very popular for pickpockets and bag and watch thieves, so definitely watch your belongings at major landmarks or attractions, especially in metro stations.
Exactly.
And if you're traveling as a family, if you have children, they are very often targets
yes.
for the pickpocketers and the scammers.
Yeah.
So definitely be careful if you are around these areas.
Yeah, definitely.
I've heard about these mimes, which are people dressed in fully white clothes, and they will like come up to you and they start chatting with you. Or if you're taking a photo, they would just come up from behind you and try to get into the photo. And once they do, they would try to ask money from you, like silently, because they're not supposed to talk. And if you don't give them money, if you try to say no, they would just keep on following you and following you until you do, like keep on pressuring you.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen any mimes, but I've seen like people sell like, you know, coconut pieces or whatever, or some fruit or whatever. And they're like, take it. And you're like, no, I don't want any. No, take one for me. And after like 5 minutes, you know, you're just trying to enjoy on the beach or whatever. And then you just, you know, take one just to have them like, you know, fuck off. and then you take one and they're like, okay, now give me 2 years. You're like, what the?
Yes.
You know, I didn't ask for any of this.
And I heard there was this coconut man somewhere who often offered coconuts.
Exactly.
In parks in Barcelona. And they target children because children are very like...
Yeah, they just would
take
try.
If you give them something, they would take it. So watch your children and don't let them take anything from strangers.
Yeah, of course.
As you should at all times.
Exactly.
Especially in Barcelona, because you would be asked for money.
Yeah, so you have to be very, like, extremely careful about that.
And we mentioned pickpocketers before. What are the main spots where you should be aware of pickpocketers in Barcelona? You mentioned Barceloneta.
Yes, Barceloneta, the Gothic Quarter, La Sagrada Familia, and metros. Any just like very, very busy place. We've had a few instances where people just like are walking, you know, and they get home and they're like, where's my phone? Or my wallet is missing. And I knew I had my wallet because I paid like 10 minutes ago and it's just...
And you were not like tourists who were there for 2 or 3 days. You were actually living there.
No, this has happened repeatedly to people who are actually living there.
And then I think the subway system. Everybody should be aware inside the subway system, because I've heard like there's actually pickpocketers who stay during the whole day in the subway.
Yeah.
How they operate.
Yeah, that's true. Let's not scare the listeners that much. Like for the past 10 minutes, you know, if I were listening to it, I would not want to go. It's not that scary. Like I never got anything stolen from me personally, which I kind of consider as a success after 1 year, you know. But all you have to do is just keep everything zipped. Don't leave belongings unattended and keep everything like, you know.
Like inside pockets or zipped pockets.
Exactly. And just check it every like 5 minutes or something like this.
And don't put anything down like on a bench or like you said, on the beach, on a table.
Yeah, just without looking at it,
because people would just like walk by and then grab it.
Yeah, just be careful and that's it.
And then I heard that there are some restaurants, especially on this street called La Rambla.
La Rambla.
Yes, where there would be no prices on the menu.
That's a common like marketing thing, yeah.
We should mention that to people, because if there's no prices, they can charge you whoever they want. So this could be actually a scam.
I have a small story about this. Yes. What happened is actually we were staying near Sagrada Familia and we went for coffee, like in the morning. We went for coffee and we had, you know, two coffees with milk or whatever, and then two Coca-Colas. And then, you know, the person brought us the receipt at the end and there was like, you know, two coffees, two Coca-Colas, and then bebidas. Well, bebidas means drinks in Spanish. And there was like, you know, two coffees, Coca-Cola, and then bebidas, 10 euros. And we were like,
what drinks?
What is this? What was this? And the person took the receipt and he's like, oh, sorry, maybe let me check. And then he brings back, he's like, oh, sorry, this was a mistake on the receipt. And I'm like, okay. And then the next day, we go to the next like cafe right opposite from it. We're like very, very close to it. And we have the same, like two coffees and two Coca-Colas. And then again, bebidas. On the receipt, there was like 10 euros bebidas. And I'm like, oh, man.
So this is a common scam.
Yeah, so like this is a common thing. And I've never seen it before. I'm like, wow, the same trick in two different restaurants, two different cafes. So I'm like, if I had to give advice, definitely do this.
And check your bills.
Check what you're paying for, basically.
Definitely. I mean, this is not like it's happening everywhere. It's just in the main, very touristy places. And it is the same in every touristy city around the world. Mostly things like this tend to happen. So it's not like we're trying to bash on Barcelona.
No. This is very common.
Yes, it's very common. It's just that some places, just be careful about this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And I would like to mention one more thing. As I mentioned before, for Prague and Napoli, this is a very common scam. I'm not sure if you can call it a scam. It's the Euronet ATMs. So a lot of people who come from America mm-hmm. or from other continents don't know about this, but there is this network of ATMs called Euronet.
Right.
And they have insane service fees and very bad exchange rate. So just don't use those ATMs.
Right.
And don't use the airport exchange offices or your hotels. Just find one that has like normal rates.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're pretty much done with the scams. That's pretty much it. We don't want to turn off our audience.
Yeah, I know.
Scare them to come to Barcelona. I mean, Barcelona is amazing. They shouldn't be. Besides the scams, it's one of the safest city. Nothing would happen to you. Like, you would not get physically injured or anything. You said it yourself.
Yeah.
What I would like to mention is there is this Wi-Fi finder, because not a lot of places have mm-hmm. this, but Barcelona has free Wi-Fi for the tourists, right?
Yes, I believe so.
There's free Wi-Fi spots all around Barcelona, and you can locate them with this Wi-Fi map or Wi-Fi finder. You can download it on iOS or Android,
right.
And it's a pretty useful thing to know. And another one that I would like to mention is that public restrooms are not that available in Barcelona as some other cities. So you can use malls or maybe some restaurants, but you actually have to order something to enter.
Yeah.
Besides that, there is this app called Cedar Squad or Flush, where you can find public bathrooms in Barcelona. I think it's a pretty useful
thing. Oh, I didn't know this.
Yes, I mean, you were a local. Yeah, you were a local. That's why you wouldn't know.
Wow. I don't know if I count as a local, but yeah, sure.
You wouldn't need one as badly.
Yes, exactly. regarding the Wi-Fi, I've seen like Wi-Fi spots and everything, but if I were traveling, I would just buy, to be honest, a SIM card with some data, because I'm very skeptical with like open Wi-Fis and open hotspots. So my advice for traveling, especially to not to Barcelona, but
everywhere.
Like everywhere in the world, just buy a local SIM card and you'll have like data anywhere, you know, whenever you need it.
True. That's an option as well. Even a better one.
Exactly.
And before we go on to our itinerary for Barcelona that you have prepared for us,
yes.
Let's just mention some things about the language. Did you know Spanish when you went to Spain? Was language ever a barrier for you? You mentioned that a lot of people do speak English.
Absolutely not. I absolutely did not know Spanish. I knew like a few words maybe here and there, but that was about it. I just learned as it goes. Like, I didn't take any courses, so I really did just learn on my own stuff. But I can get around and I can understand more than I can talk, which is just usual. But yeah, a lot of people do speak English, especially because, you know, it's a tourist place, so a lot of people know. And a lot of young people actually speak English, so it's not a problem.
Since you can speak conversational Spanish, can you tell us the basic vocabulary or some useful words that tourists may want to know before they go to Barcelona? Like, hello?
Sure, of course. Hello is hola, they say hola, or hola, hola, buenos. It means just like hello, you know, so, you know, good day or something.
Oh, buenos dias, I know that one.
Yes. ¿Qué tal is kind of very general, like, you know, like, what's up, what's happening, something like, mm-hmm. hola, buenos, ¿qué tal? Is something like this. Kind of like goes together. Bueno or bien, gracias.
And goodbye?
Goodbye is just adios. Just adio. Or in Catalan, they say adeo.
Oh, there's a difference.
Yeah, you have to remember that Catalan and Spanish are not the same language. you know, they're very similar, but not the same, definitely. And if you speak one and confuse it with the other, locals would get angrier. So, you know.
They speak both Catalan and Spanish in Barcelona.
Mostly Catalan, mostly Catalan, but of course they would understand Spanish. So Catalan people understand Spanish, but less Spanish people understand Catalan.
Interesting fact.
But yeah, if you just speak Spanish, locals won't have a problem with tourists, of course.
And then yes and no, very important ones.
Yes is sí, and no is just like no.
Thank you is gracias. I know a bit of Spanish.
Gracias, yes. Like I understand, entiendo, no entiendo, or if you just say, I don't speak Spanish, you know, no hablo español, or something like this, soy turista, or I just say soy estudiante, or soy turista, something like this.
And a very important one, how much is this?
¿Cuánto cuesta esto? Something like this, yes. Or I just say cuánto es esta, and people understand. Comida, comida is food. If you want to eat food, you know, you say comida or quiero comida, or bebidas is drinks.
And you mentioned about Catalonians and Spanish, and then there is some kind of tension here. Is there some cultural do's and don'ts, things people should know about before visiting Barcelona?
Yeah, if you're a tourist, you're mainly fine. But general rule of thumb, don't scream like España, España in like the middle of Barcelona or Catalonia or something. You know, people might get offended and stuff. Just be careful around that.
And any interesting traditions that you came upon while in Spain that you didn't know about before or you found that interesting?
Oh, there are actually so many. They have a lot of festivals during the end of summer. They have so many holidays, and for each holiday, they have something special or some
parades, stuff like that.
Yes, there is this one parade with like fireworks. I think it was called Corasic, if I'm not mistaken. It's like the running with fire or something like this.
Ooh, sounds interesting.
Yes, they dress up in mascots and there are just like fireworks all around and flames. And that kind of left impressions on me.
And before we finally start our itinerary,
right,
where should one stay when visiting Barcelona? Like, which are the best areas? Is there any hotels you would like to recommend?
Maybe specific hotels not, but I would suggest maybe somewhere around Sagrada Familia, because it's kind of like the center, maybe a center-ish, or somewhere around that area. Because, well, with the metro, you can really get everywhere very fast. Being in the center is nice, so you can actually go by foot a lot of places. But for some places, you know, you would have to reach by train, like, you know, on the beach or El Carmel or Tibidabo or something like this.
So as we mentioned, Barcelona is one of the most fun, vibrant, and warm, happy, energetic cities in Europe and maybe even around the world.
Exactly.
And there is so many things to do and see. So what would you recommend? Like, where should one begin once they arrive in Barcelona? Day one.
So let's go like this. Let's start at the Gothic Quarter. So I think the Gothic Quarter is the oldest neighborhood in Barcelona. Quite like unique. It's quite like nice and tight with its like very unique architecture and all of this. During nighttime, it's not scary, but kind of like you have this feeling like you're in some sort of like movie or something. When the streets are empty, it's quite like nice. It's kind of like dramatic. There's a lot of bars. There's a lot of like different places you can go. There's a lot of shops that you can visit. Loads of different restaurants. So the Gothic Quarter will be a nice area to explore. So that would be where maybe I would start.
I like history, so I've read a lot about Barcelona. And then the thing is, not many people notice, on the entrance on the Gothic Quarter, there is this sign that says Barcino. And it sounds so Italian. Mm-hmm. My Italian accent coming out.
Barcino.
And then that is actually the Roman name. And Barcelona was founded in Roman times as a resting area, resting city for Roman soldiers who were finishing the war and then coming here to rest and something. And it's a very small area. And though the walls, that is the Gothic Quarter, you can even see a map on some of the walls there, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that Roman Barcelona city that was at the time.
Oh, that's very nice. I didn't know this. So thank you for putting that in. I'm not very particularly like historic enthusiast or something, but I do like to read up a little bit maybe on something. So from the Gothic Quarter, you can go on Plaza Real, which is kind of like So, Plaza Real, within the Gothic Quarter, is kind of like this big, a little bit like bigger square where you can just sit and have coffees or have bocadillos or something like this. Let me just say bocadillo is kind of like basically a sandwich, consists of like a baguette, like a small baguette, like in between you have whatever you want to have, like most common, like maybe just ham or cheese, or you can have like potatoes, or you can have whatever you want on it. So bocadillos is kind of like a great it's like a big
it's
thing,
like in, the ancestor in of Subway.
Exactly. Bocadillos. Yes, they're very popular. So around Plaza Real, you can go out on, you can go to La Rambla, which is kind of like this big street, or what British people would say the high street, on which there's largely, you know, people, a lot of bikes, a lot of stuff like this. And there's also a lot of like shops, you know, like H&M, Zara, whatever, and you can, you know, do your shopping over there and stuff. And also like local souvenirs, local stuff, just very, very kind of like, you know, touristy place.
Yes, and touristy prices, I believe, right?
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Everything is a lot more expensive. So, I mean, that's just the standard in every city.
I read recommendations about the restaurants over mm-hmm. there and the bars, and then everybody's just saying, like, just do 1 kilometer away from this street, and then you would have, like, more authentic Spanish experience, and definitely. It would not be as high priced as it is here.
Definitely. Well, that's just the standard, I guess. So, yeah, just keep an eye on the prices. Just take a look at the restaurants and see if they're, like, there's a lot of people there or not, or something like this. You know, this is just like some general tips that if you want to pick a good restaurant or something. And of course, you know, go to TripAdvisor or to some like similar sites, and you can just check out restaurants and stuff.
Oh, I heard one more scam about this. I heard that, but this is sure. typical for a lot of touristy places. A lot of people, a lot of restaurants would just make fake TripAdvisor stickers, and then they would put them on their restaurants, especially really? On this street. Yeah, so you would better be off, as you mentioned, just check the websites, check the apps, and then go into the restaurants that actually have like TripAdvisor status, not just a fake sticker
definitely.
On them.
Definitely. So maybe on the end of La Rambla or in this place, you can find the Boqueria Market, which is basically this big bazaar. And it's kind of like very symbolic for Spain. It's just this big, big market where you can find everything from, you know, from fresh fruit, from like chocolate, from meat, cheeses, milk, vegetables, whatever you want, some souvenirs, like everything there is. But do be careful for the prices. I do have an interesting story for you.
I love interesting stories.
Me and a friend, we do go into Boqueria Market. We go to this one kind of like this, you know, place where they sell chocolates. And well, I'm a chocoholic. I really love chocolates. I'm like,
who
okay,
doesn't?
I want to try these. Yes, exactly. And then you go to this place, to this open shop, and then on the display you see like 80,000 types of like chocolate, and you know, well, not literally 1,000, but like a lot. So I take, like, you know, not to get carried away, like 3-4 maybe pieces of chocolate, and then I put them in this bag that they gave me, and I give the bag, and the guy weighs it and says, I think it was around like 35 euros, something like this, for like 3-4 pieces of chocolate. And I just look at him like, what, this price is like crazy. And I told my friend, this guy is like crazy, like I'm not paying like 35-40 euros for like a few pieces of chocolate, you know, I can drown in chocolate from like the supermarket, you know, and this is not chocolate from the royal cow or something, you know, it's just ridiculous. And I just say, like, I don't want these chocolates, and he's like, then here's the bag, you put them back. And I just look at him like, are you serious? It was just ridiculous. So just be careful, ask for prices, you know, it's just ridiculous.
It's basically a scam, another one.
yes definitely.
And after the market, where should we head next?
You could go around and explore different structures, different buildings by Gaudi. So Gaudi is this architect. He is famous for his very signature architectural wavel kind of like facades of buildings. They're kind of like very wavy. I think something related maybe to the sea or whatever inspired him. I don't know. But Gaudi is very famous, and he's been quoted in so many books and so many stories, very like advertising wise about Barcelona. So one of his most famous work is like maybe a Sagrada Familia, which is still in the process of being built, and it's being built for the past I don't know how many years, but it's one of those things that never gets finished, you know, kind of like symbolically maybe, or who knows. So of course, Sagrada Familia, it's quite nice because on the inside, it's kind of like apparently has this rainforest kind of like feeling, you know, you go inside and everything, the walls are like mountains.
Especially if you look up.
Exactly. And the windows are kind of like colored and it's quite nice. I know, it's just a nice experience. You need to go in there, you, buy your tickets online in advance. And you just need to get the full experience. But from the outside, it just looks absolutely marvelous. So that's one of Gaudi's biggest works. The other thing, which is very popular, is actually La Pedrera, which is this big, inside there's like a hall, like for like conferences and stuff. And actually, we had the privilege to go and have like our first introductory meeting in La Pedrera. And 1 week before this, I had actually finished Dan Brown's newest book. And 20 or maybe 30% of the book takes place around La Pedrera, so he very nicely kind of explains in details the whole building, and it was just marvelous. It was just very amazing for me walking inside the building. I can just see everything I pictured in my mind. It was just very nice. So La Pedrera is very, you can see it from far away, you can recognize like Gaudi's work. It's so specific, it's so unique, it's just so signature like for him. So you can just see it from like far away. Other things that are Gaudi inspired, I think, yes, he has some statues or some architecture in Parguel. Parguel is basically a park up in like Carmel, which you can go and see some Gaudi stuff. And again, you can see this architecture, and it's quite nice.
It's a must stop. It's something that is recommended in all of the itineraries, and you cannot go to Barcelona without visiting all of the Gaudi architecture and landmarks.
Exactly.
And they're basically like architectural masterpieces. Maybe you can call them art.
Yeah, it's basically a combination of both.
And they are scattered all over the city, so you cannot miss them, as you said.
Exactly, yes. You have to go multiple places, so that's quite nice. So when you go to Parguel, which is kind of like in the part of El Carmel, this part which is kind of like on the hill of Barcelona, it's like 10 minutes walking away from, not 10, maybe like 15 minutes walking away from the bunkers of Carmel, and it is absolutely stunning in the morning because you have a view towards the east and towards the entire of Barcelona, like 360 degree view of Barcelona. You see like maybe 80% of Barcelona just like in front of you. And it's absolutely amazing when there's no clouds. And if you wake up early enough, like in the morning, and especially I went running, I just went and just watched the sunset each morning. It was just absolutely amazing. And there's always people there in the morning, like, you know, not that many, but like, you know, 5, 6, or maybe 10 people will be working out,
appreciating the sunrise.
Exactly. There were so many people like filming movies or like videos or blogs or promotional videos or whatever. It's just such a nice location. But if you want to go there, enjoy, go in the morning. Get it if you're a tourist. You don't want to wake up at like 6 and go. But what people did actually is they went to like parties and we went to whatever until like 3, 4, and then like 5, 5:30 they would just after party go to like Parguel, and it was just absolutely amazing. You know, you're just having your after party, you know, just sitting and watching the sunrise.
Sounds amazing, and sounds like a good plan for our audience if they're into partying.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yeah, even though it would be a bit of a detour, it's definitely a must visit.
Very important. Do go maybe very early in the morning or at night, because there's a lot of climbing, it's very high, and if you're going when it's very warm and humid, then you're gonna have a very, very, very like sweaty time. Yes, so just be careful when you plan to go there.
That would not be good to continue your day like that.
Exactly. Yeah, just go either very early in the morning or maybe at the night. And it's actually quite romantic at the night.
That's a good idea as well.
Yes.
And other than that, where else should we go?
So let's maybe go outside of Barcelona a little bit, if people have time left over or something. So close to Barcelona, there's this mountain. It's called Mount Montserrat. This mountain with very hollow rocks. It's very nice for rock climbing. It's very nice for hiking. It's very kind of like nice and pleasant. Nature-wise, it's very nice. I've been there. There's a nice kind of like view of Barcelona and the region around it. And also another high place is Tibidabo, which is basically on the top of Barcelona. one, there's an amusement park on Tibidabo. So it's quite nice. Tibidabo is quite nice. You can go there, I think, by taxi because it's very high and like the metro doesn't run, but buses and taxis do. So outside of Barcelona, you have Montserrat, which I said you could go and visit. You have Girona, which is kind of like this Costa Brava region over there, a bit more to the side outside of Barcelona. But that's nice if you want to like spend the weekend there. It's very nice. It's not so crowded. The beaches are very nice. I like to do a lot of snorkeling, a lot of swimming and stuff. So for me, this was very nice. It was very kind of like pleasant. We went like on a few trips with some of my friends. And that's about Costa Brava, and it's very nice. Make sure you go if you have like a weekend free.
You mentioned Montserrat. Is it there like this very Instagrammable spot, this picture that you see everywhere with the big rocks, like
yes,
squares one on top of each other?
Yes,
that's Montserrat, right?
Yeah, it's a very Instagrammable spot.
We usually do Instagrammable or picturesque spots on the show.
Exactly, especially your Instagram.
Thank you.
All travel Instagrammable pictures and stuff.
Yeah, that's why I have to mention it for my followers.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas mine is just focused on me. What can I say? I'm a narcissist.
I don't think so. I've known you personally, and you're a great guy, and I appreciate you being a guest here. Don't mislead our audience.
Okay. So one important thing for Montserrat, I'm guessing people are asking how to get there. So the railroad system, it's very easy. Like you just go on Google Maps and it tells you which line or which train to take where. And there are actually trains to Montserrat. And I think you can even go with this T10 that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. So with this T10, you can go like in a very broad range of like places, and you can just go there and you just have to check the times when the last train is back. Like I've been to a few places where, you know, I've been with like railroads to like heck knows where, you know, maybe 50 kilometers out from Barcelona. So make use of the railroad if you're there for a longer stay or stay and you want to just travel everywhere. Also, the next city that I wanted to see, just you can also go by rail, by Renfe. Renfe is like the big company for like railroad. So renfe.com, it's kind of this orange. Everything is with orange around it, so you can't really miss it. And you just buy a ticket and you just go to there. And Sitges is actually quite an interesting city because apparently it's the most progressive city in the Catalonia region. It literally has like LGBT flags waving around there. Apparently it's like a destination for LGBT people. There's actually like a gay parade or pride parade organized there, and it's kind of like, I don't know, the most like open, because this is what I've heard and what's left an impression on me, I guess.
In general, there's a lot of places that you can visit around Barcelona, and I think it's very good to give yourself at least a couple or 3 days besides the 3 day that you would do Barcelona. 3 days would be enough for Barcelona, and then you can just do a few trips in the neighboring cities.
Yes, I would suggest maybe like 7 to 8 days, something like this, if you want to see everything and do everything. And even then you won't see everything, but you know, but leave something for next time, of course. Nice place for maybe for restaurant for dinner is, it's like at the end of the beach, and there's this like long pier of restaurants that stretches along, and of course it's a little bit more expensive than usual, but it's quite nice because you have like you're dining with like a view of the sea and everything, and it's quite nice.
This is in Barcelona, right?
Yes, it's in Barcelona, like around the pier. There's just a few piers like this, I guess. And you can just go on whichever one, just before the port. So just go, you know, enjoy, have some nice foods. People are really friendly, but of course, check the prices.
While we're talking about dinner, let's talk some more about food. Like you mentioned the bocadillo, right?
Yes.
You mentioned, I'm not sure if we mentioned paella. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes. No, we didn't mention. I just have to say, as a person who doesn't consume meat, I have had like, I've like tried here and there just to, like have a taste, but I did feel restrained about like food choices and over there. So if you're like vegetarian or vegan, especially if you're a vegan, it's kind of a bit like maybe challenging about just eating there.
So make a research in advance.
Yes, exactly. But I've tried, like I've did my part to just like try the foods, and it's quite nice. I've had like a lot of foods, like local foods and stuff, like local
traditional dishes.
Yeah, local like bacons and dishes and stuff like this.
Yes.
Yeah, about that.
Spain is famous for sausages. I remember that.
Exactly.
A lot of types of sausages. Very famous for stuff.
And minced meat in general as well, yeah.
Anything else that people should try when they go there?
Yeah, the paella, definitely. Paella is basically like rice cooked in a massive pan. It can be done with chicken or with pork, or it just can be like a vegetarian one or whatever. It's very nice. It's very unique maybe like to them, and it's quite nice.
And another popular one would be tapas.
Yes, tapas.
Especially for going out at night, bars, drinking.
Yes, tapas, like patatas bravas or something like this. Tapas is like snacks that you take while you're drinking beer, and it's very, very nice actually. I wish we kind of had more of this culture over here where you just like, you drink a beer, you know, and then you're just like eating like potatoes with some creamy sauce or, you know, some like some meat or whatever, you know. It's quite nice. It just, I don't know, there's just not that many fat people in Barcelona. I just don't know how on that much eating, on that much food.
They walk a lot.
Yeah, I guess they walk around. Or they chase thieves or something like this. I don't know. No, they're like, because obviously it's like a beach city. There's a lot of people doing fitness, a lot of people running, a lot of people biking, doing going on rollers. Barceloneta is a popular surf spot. So people are relatively fit. There's this culture of like exercising, you know. It doesn't feel forced.
That's nice. Take care of your health.
And then I just finish and go home at 8, and I'm just thinking like, wow, you know, where am I living? You know, it was very nice.
Yeah, exactly. I am so jealous right now.
you have to experience it.
Any other foods that we must try while in Barcelona? I mean, we're going to do a top 5 picks about Spain on our social media. So make sure to follow us there on Take Me To Podcast. But other than that, any others? Maybe desserts we didn't mention. One that is pretty popular everywhere. It is churros.
Yes. Oh, I was thinking like, oh, which one was it? Yes, churros is very popular.
I was wondering, is it really popular in Spain as much as it's popular in other parts of the world?
I think it's more like a touristy thing. But there are people, I've seen people eat churros like on weekends in the park. It's basically kind of just like fried dough, and then you eat it with melted chocolate, and it's quite nice. I wanted to mention actually Parc Ciutadella, which is the city park, and it's quite nice because it has loads of like places where you can ride bikes, where you can sit with your friends, you can like play cards, you can play guitar, you can just sit down and play, you know, just take a ball and play football or whatever, you know, and just chat and just talk. It's very nice, very chill. Definitely miss that part. There's also like table tennis, like and it's quite nice. Yeah,
so definitely nice. Visit if you have a little bit of more time to relax and take it easy.
Exactly.
Any drinks that you would like to mention that one must try there, or they are popular in Barcelona? I think similar to our previous episodes in Italy, Barcelona, I think a lot of people are enjoying Aperol Spritz.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, Spritz are quite popular. Beer is very popular, I say. But a traditional, maybe Spanish kind of drink would be cava.
Mm.
Maybe I think they have like cava, which is kind of something between, I think, champagne and wine. It's kind of the sparkly, kind of like very nice. This is kind of like traditional Spanish. Another one is sangria, of course, kind of like wine with fruits, and it's, you know, served cold, and it's very nice. But, you know, either go to like some very specific nice restaurant that makes it, because otherwise it's not like the best if you just go to any restaurant or something like this. And also vermouth, which is kind of like this black sugary, maybe like sugary type wine and stuff. It's vermouth is quite nice. I like vermouth. It was one of my favorites, I have to say.
Quick questions, this or that, Barcelona edition. Barcelona or Madrid?
Barcelona.
Churros or crema catalana?
Crema catalana, definitely.
Paella or gazpacho?
Paella.
Barcelona by day or Barcelona by night?
Ooh, Barcelona by night.
Vermouth or spritz?
Vermouth.
And Sagrada Familia or Parc Güell?
Parquel.
5 second challenge, Barcelona edition. Name 3 things in 5 seconds. 3 famous landmarks.
Barceloneta, Sagrada Familia, and Bunkers.
3 famous parks.
Parc Ciutadella, Parquel, Parc Cervantes.
3 famous dishes.
Bocadillo, paellas, gazpachos.
Three famous drinks.
Vermouth, cava, and sangria.
And three famous people.
Jaume Primero, Gerard Piqué, Gaudi.
And I think that's pretty much it. I think we went all over Barcelona and even some neighboring cities. Thank you, Milan, for joining us here today. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me on your podcast. As I said, this is my first time being a guest on someone else's podcast. So it was really fun being on the other side and being interviewed.
I'm very glad that you had fun. I had fun as well. And hopefully I can come to your podcast and be as a guest one day.
Yes, as soon as you want, we can arrange it. Sure.
And that's it for today, everybody. I hope we didn't scare anyone from going to Barcelona, considering how this episode went, but managed to bring awareness and for a moment there take you to the streets of Barcelona, while inspiring you to actually book the trip one day. Thanks again to Milan for the entertaining and informative stories of his Barcelona adventures. You can find him on Instagram at namuabetsopapata or at papadasecond, and give his podcast namuabetsopapata a listen on YouTube or Spotify. You can find the links in the description. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out another one and let us take you somewhere else. I'd love to connect with you on Instagram at itissunnyoverhere and at takemetopodcast or any other social media platform where you can leave your questions and proposals for our next destination. Let me know where do you want to go. Follow our social media where we'll keep you updated and included in the podcast creating process, or visit www.takemetopodcast.com for more information. New episodes dropping on Tuesdays, so come back and let us take you somewhere else. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Sunny. Join me again on our next episode on a new journey to a new destination. And don't forget, travel makes you realize that no matter how much you grow, there's always more to learn.